Cap.
This is SB Nation AM.
Another kind of daytime radio program.
On SB Nation Radio.
And on SBNationRadio.com.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Rocket Mortgage is with you every step of the way. Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
And we are making it to Thursday, SB Nation AM on SB Nation Radio. It'll be a throwback Thursday today. The college basketball tournament being canceled, and we've been doing March Memories, and some other people are trying to cope without college basketball. The Associated Press released its top 25, the final one of the season, pretty much putting a closure on the year, and said Kansas is the number one team in the nation. No surprise, they were the number one team going into the tournament. They were the number one team going into conference week. They got 63 of the 65 first place votes. Gonzaga was number two, Dayton was three, Florida State was four, and Baylor was five. So when we look back at the 2019-2020 season, will we think that Kansas is the national champion? Will we look back and say, well, it was Kansas. They didn't play a tournament, but it was Kansas. Well, I hope we don't, because I think of all the sports that we have, one of the more fun postseasons that we have in all of sports is the NCAA tournament. You know, 68 teams, all these upsets, et cetera, et cetera. It's a hard tournament to go through. And I think it has value, and I think it does have meaning. We don't necessarily like college. We didn't like college football when it ended with polls. We tried to change it as best we could. We created the BCS system, and even though that was controversial, we still wanted it to be decided on the field, and college basketball in the same way. You know, college basketball had a 32-team tournament, then a 64-team tournament. We didn't even think that was enough, so we added even these play-in games in Dayton, Ohio, to add even more teams into the madness. But because of these circumstances, and we kind of want a champion, and we kind of want closure on a season, will we look at this and say, well, that was Kansas's year? You know, we had a strike year in baseball in which it got shut down and we didn't reward anybody, the Yankees or the Montreal Expos or anybody a champion. I think history should show that this tournament was canceled, that Kansas and Dayton and Gonzaga had good seasons, but nobody won a national championship. Nobody claimed anything. The AP can certainly give the number one number one ranking to Kansas and let that be their part of their history. But as far as part of sports history, I hope we don't remember that anybody won this year because we didn't have a tournament. And I think that's really important.
It's Thursday, which means it's Throwback Thursday on SB Nation AM. Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
All right, it's Throwback Thursday. We go back to the Wayback Machine of 1995. 95 is part of the big Wayback Machine, as Michael Jordan comes back to the NBA after playing a little bit of baseball for a couple of years and allowing the Houston Rockets to get two NBA championships during his hiatus. Appreciate that, City of Houston. As Jordan returned to the NBA, then won three more championships. Didn't win it when he got back. Got back, kind of joined the team late, wore 45, lost to the Knicks in the playoffs. And then he regrouped, got back together with the Bulls, and then they won three more championships.
Yeah, that was weird.
And in between, the Rockets claimed two titles, one against the Knicks and the other against the Orlando Magic. And then the Bulls took over again, winning the NBA. Now, there's a little bit of story to this. There was, so Jordan went, you know, we know the whole story. Jordan retired, went to go play baseball, played for the Birmingham Barons in Alabama, and was getting better. Not great, but he was getting better. Terry Francona was the manager down there at the time in the mid-90s and really liked the work ethic, right? He was a competitor and he was an athlete. He worked really hard at it. But Major League Baseball went on strike, remember, in 1994. So going into the 1995 season, Major League Baseball hadn't resolved the strike. So all of spring training and even just before the start, there was, well, what is baseball going to do? And there was this serious conversation that baseball was going to bring in non-union players from the minor leagues to play Major League Baseball. Just bring in a new group, much like what the NFL did in bringing bringing in players across the picket line, right? Players that weren't on part of the union and, you know, scab players, if you want to call it that. And Jordan didn't want to be part of that because Jordan was a union guy in basketball, and he felt that there was some level of solidarity with the union of Major League Baseball. Even though he wasn't part of it, he felt like there was some sort of kinship there. So he didn't want to be part of any sort of promotional element by baseball bringing him into the majors under false pretenses of, well, we're just going to make sure we continue to play our sport even though our players are on strike. And that helped him lead to the decision to come back to basketball. Now, there is people who have said, well, if Major League Baseball had resolved this strike and, you know, it was okay and they were going into the 1995 season all good, does Jordan stay in the minors because he was actually really getting, you know, he was getting better and I think he seemed to enjoy it? That remains to be seen. We don't know, right? We don't know. But the story that of Jordan coming back to Major League Baseball, I mean, the NBA and leaving baseball, was really more about the strike, his affinity for being a union guy, a union athlete, and not wanting to be a part of any sort of Major League Baseball plan to put him and a bunch of other minor leaguers into the majors to circumvent that strike.
Are you sure? I thought it was because of a cartoon rabbit.
That's true, right?
It could be a cartoon rabbit.
Also, too, I think it was when David Stern said, okay, that's enough. You can come back now.
I believe that more than anything.
It's all good. It's calmed down. All these other allegations have slowed down. You're now allowed to come back into the NBA.
What's a bigger conspiracy theory, that or the frozen envelope?
The frozen envelope, because I think it's still more believable. I couldn't care. I get it. Like when I heard Sam Smith talk about the controversy, I was like, all right, no one is going to convince me that the Knicks, that wasn't a rigged draft. I don't care who, nobody can convince me that wasn't a rigged draft. I don't care. I don't know how he did it. Could have been a crease, frozen envelope, could be, I don't know.
They doubled down too with LeBron.
Oh, that's right. Yeah.
I think that one was totally rigged.
I think so too. And I also think the one where LeBron left for Miami and then they also got the number one pick.
Yeah.
I think that was rigged, too.
No, it was the little kid's good luck charm.
Little kid's good luck charm. Dan Gilbert's kid with the bow tie. Remember how
exactly.
cute he was?
Yep.
Remember that? Yeah. So that's a Throwback Thursday on this date in 1995.
45. All right. That was bizarre to see.
It was bizarre to see the 45. Yeah.
It just, you know, it didn't feel right. Because what? There was somebody else that already grabbed 23?
Yeah. I can't remember the story on that. I'll have to look that up. But yeah. But why would somebody, why wouldn't he just go, give me that jersey right now?
Yeah. Well,
and they go, here you go.
It was mid-season.
Yeah, but you can't just get it right then and there?
No, that's NBA rules.
Is that an NBA rule?
Yeah,
you can't change the uniform?
Because of jersey sales and whatnot.
Oh, please.
But if you went to the Bulls, why would you ever take 23?
Well, that's another thing. Who gave them 23 in the first place?
Yeah.
That was stupid.
I mean, that one's sacred.
That's right.
Remember when Kobe Bryant passed away and they were saying, oh, we should retire his number league-wide. I was like, well, if you're going to do that, I think you need to start with 23 first.
Well, yeah, that was a little much. I mean, I didn't agree with that.
I
understood the sentiment, and I know we were all kind of in mourning, and we were trying to figure out a real proper way to, you know, celebrate Kobe. But I kept going, no. There's no other significance to doing that. I mean, Jackie Robinson had huge significance as to why you would do that.
Wasn't just because he was a great baseball player.
This is not that level. Kobe Bryant doesn't carry any other... He doesn't carry a weight that's larger than the sport in which he participated.
Although, I will say this, as someone on Twitter had pointed out, that maybe he was the glue holding the world together.
It's true. That's true.
But you know what? 2020 was going downhill before his passing anyways.
What a disaster 2020 has been so far. Somebody put a nice.
We're only in March.
Somebody put a picture of Thanos and said, "This is 2020 in person," from the Avengers, and I'm like, "That's so true."
Yeah,
it's been we've only been doing this two and a half months, and we've had nothing but calamity,
major calamities.
Right, it's a mess.
So hopefully, this one's the peak.
But there is a little bit of good news for the upcoming football season for at least you and I. It looks like Gardner Minshew mania is here to stay in Jacksonville.
Thank God. And we need it more than ever.
We need Minshew mania more than ever. Because the Jacksonville Jaguars, despite a huge contract that seemed to be unmovable, got it moved. They traded Nick Foles to the Chicago Bears in a really bizarre trade when you think about it. Because here's what it could be. It could be, okay, Nick Foles is the starting quarterback, and you're going to pay him handsomely to do that. Okay, that would be the best case scenario. At worst case scenario for the Bears, he's a very expensive, competitive part of training camp to get Mitchell Trubisky ready for the upcoming season. Which is it?
Challenge him a little bit.
Right. Because that price tag to get that kind of veteran in camp to challenge a quarterback you might still believe in is a very expensive price tag. But yeah, that may be where the Bears are going. Matt Nagy worked with Nick Foles at one point, so there's a connection there. But this again, go back to the thing we always talk about, right? When we go, how many real starting quarterbacks are there in the league? It's amazing how fluid that is. Mm-hmm. Because Foles was a guy that won a Super Bowl. Then, you know, Carson Wentz was legitimately the starter going into the 2018 season. But Foles was called upon again to take over the Eagles and got them to the playoffs, led them to a win over the Bears in Chicago, and played really well and almost pulled off the upset in New Orleans against the Saints. And then finally got his payday, right? All right, gotta go. Gotta go out, you know. We can't have two quarterbacks. We're going to go with Carson Wentz. Nick Foles, you're out. You're on your own. Go out there and make some money. And he did. Huge contract. Jacksonville bringing him in. All right. Foles is going to get his team. What happens? He breaks his collarbone in week one. Who steps up? Gardner Minshew. What happens? Minshew mania sweeps the nation. Everybody wants a headband. Everybody wants a mustache. Everybody wants to compare him to Uncle Rico. It was fun. It was neat. He had a swashbuckling style of play that was fun to watch. And Foles, recovering from a broken collarbone, gets his job back and doesn't live up to any sort of hype at all. Doesn't live up to any sort of promise. And now where we are a year later after signing that big contract and being the quarterback savior for Jacksonville, he's traded to the Bears as a possible competitive piece to the Mitchell Trubisky development, or at best for him, he just takes over the starting quarterback position. We'll see, because they haven't done anything to Mitchell Trubisky yet. So the possibility is both, that he's just going to take over the quarterback job, or he's going to be fighting it out with Mitchell Trubisky. I mean, it's insane. I mean, this guy was hoisting a trophy not that long ago. I mean, in reality, in calendar year, it was 2 years ago. In football terms, it was three seasons ago. But in a calendar year, it was 2 years ago, he was hoisting a trophy. And in those 2 years, he went from, I'll still be the backup to the Eagles, sign a huge deal with Jacksonville, get injured in week one, and get traded to the Chicago Bears. Lose my starting job and get traded to the Chicago Bears. In 2 years.
And only for a fourth round pick.
That's another good point. And only for a fourth round pick.
And I'm assuming the Bears are picking up the
yes,
bill.
Yes, they are.
So, I mean, that in itself is worth gold. But yeah, it's only for a fourth round pick.
And the interesting part is, again, this was seen by some as an immovable contract for Jacksonville. It was just too expensive for a guy that, you know, had a broken collarbone and really didn't play well at all in his return to the Jags. And somehow the Bears went, nah, it's not quite as unmovable as you think. Here's a fourth round pick. We'll take him off your hands. I mean, and also the Bears aren't dipping their toe in the quarterback race for anybody. Right? There's Cam Newton. There's Jameis Winston. There's Andy Dalton. There was Teddy Bridgewater. Right? They're not dipping their toe into the quarterback race for anybody. Instead, they made the trade for a fourth round pick and picked up Nick Foles. What kind of Nick Foles? If we played the game, who are legit starters in the NFL and who are teams that are still working that out? A year ago, Nick Foles was on that list. Super Bowl champion, seems to play well whenever you need him. And now he's not.
He's back to being the Nick Foles that we knew and loved.
Right. Yeah, that's true.
I mean, because remember, he came up with the Eagles and he had that one shining year that was just incredible. And then they shipped him off to St. Louis.
That's right. They shipped him off. Yep.
And he just disappeared quickly.
Yeah. Then when he came back, it was like, oh, there he is. Look at that. He's winning a Super Bowl, beating the Patriots, Philly special, all of that stuff.
And got a huge payday.
All right. Coming up, Adam Silver talks about the possible return of the NBA, what it would take, what it would look like. We'll have that for you coming up. It is SB Nation AM. It's Tony D, Ron Culver in the morning.
Thursday, which means it's Throwback Thursday on SB Nation AM. Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts studios, alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
All right, save big during the O'Reilly Auto Parts Power Torque Tools DIY Days Sale with great deals on socket sets, wrenches, and more. If you're a do-it-yourselfer, you need the right tools for the job, and this is your opportunity. Right now, get a 57-peach quarter-inch drive ratchet socket and bit set, just $24.99, plus double O rewards points, which means you'll get to your next reward even faster. O'Reilly Auto Parts, better prices every day. Donald on Twitter, and I think we got the answer to our Michael Jordan number problem on Throwback Thursday.
All right.
I think the Bulls retired Jordan's number 23 and had to petition the NBA for him to wear it when returning, and he wore 45 to be able to play immediately.
That makes more sense.
I can't believe the Bulls gave it to somebody else.
And on the flip side, I can't believe anyone would want to wear it.
Right. He had won three titles and had been one of the more fun NBA. Before he won the titles, he was one of the more fun NBA up-and-coming stars of the 80s, right? Because he was
Air Jordan.
He was Air Jordan.
His royal airness.
So you had all these years with Jordan before the retirement where you won the championships and just had the level of prestige that you had with him on your roster. I can't imagine they went, here, let's just give it away to somebody else who cares. But it was that on this date, 1995, Jordan came back to the NBA with a fax. I'm back. So,
which you can see in the movie Space Jam.
Right.
First game back.
That's right.
So I said, I thought.
I got to watch Space Jam again. I perused Netflix and it's on Netflix.
Yes, it is. I thought that was the reason why he came back, because all the NBA players who had their powers sucked by aliens.
Right.
Challenged him, saying, oh, he doesn't have his game. Little did he know that he saved the planet. Well, the cartoon planet, I guess.
It is still one of the more bizarre stories of a superstar's career. Michael Jordan just disappearing and playing baseball. Just leaving the sport.
Because of his dad.
Still.
Hey, that's what they told us.
That's what they sold us. That's right. That's what they told us. And maybe it was, because that is kind of neat. If you could do that, you probably would.
Well, I mean,
if your dad passes away in a tragic situation and you know he loved when you played baseball and you are connected enough to be able to do that.
Exactly.
There's just not a lot of people that could do that if they wanted to. I mean, without the laughter and the criticism of what like Tebow got when he made that decision. I don't think anybody was, I mean, people were talking about it. It was controversial. I remember people saying, look, this isn't fair. He's going to get a spot. This is kids playing baseball their whole lives. And they work to this level. I mean, that same conversation that we had with Tebow a couple of years ago when he was trying to pull this off was the same conversation people had about Jordan when he was trying to do this.
And they're all right, because the Birmingham Barons. I mean, they had record attendance during that time.
Sure. It was crazy.
Everyone just wanted to come out and see Jordan. I mean, I remember that game being televised on ESPN.
Yep, I remember
like
it too.
And you're sitting there, it's like, it's a minor league game. We should never even see any of these.
Yep, there's that documentary, Jordan Rides the Bus. Yep. And I told the story when I was visiting a friend of mine in South Carolina. He was living in the upstate of South Carolina. And we drove by the Greenville Braves Stadium. And I think they were the Greenville Braves at the time. I think there's something else now. And Birmingham was in town and we couldn't get tickets, but we saw the hoopla by the stadium. We saw the crowd, the bus, We saw, I mean, it was incredible. He said he never, you know, he's never seen the stadium like that, where it was so much attention. TV trucks outside, all sorts of attention. And it was kind of cool, like, to see all that. Like, we couldn't even go near that stadium, but it was still neat to pass it and see all the hype and how everybody was excited that Jordan was in town playing minor league baseball. But that's our Throwback Thursday today, 1995. So you'll hear the tunes from that particular year as we celebrate Michael Jordan's return to the NBA all throughout the day today. So speaking of the NBA, Adam Silver spoke yesterday about the possibility of returning to play and what it would take, what it would look like. Look, he doesn't have an answer for this, right? Does he, you know, he doesn't know when they're going to start. Nobody does. Right. He's in contact with medical officials every single day. But he said there are a couple of things that we need to look at. He said, here are some things that we've got to go by. One, can we restart and operate as we've known it with 19,000 fans in the building? So in that respect, he's got to wait for some sort of national all clear. Right. So some sort of official health official, whoever, that says everybody's good. You can now gather, you know, in large mass again, just like we used to. We've got a good handle on this, et cetera, et cetera. But then he said, look, the option two, we restart without fans in attendance just to get the games in. Okay. Now I know you have broadcasting obligations. You have a contract with TNT and ESPN TBS, whoever it is, you have these broadcasting obligations, but those can obviously, that's a contracted deal that can be pushed aside. You can move, you can extend the media contract beyond this year because of the missed games this season. And then the third option is the impact on the national psyche is having nothing on at all. So, like, just not playing and canceling the whole season. What would that mean if tomorrow Adam Silver said, I don't care where we are in the future. I don't care where we go with this. I'm hoping for the best. But no matter what, we have canceled the 2019-20 season. We are not playing at all. We'll see you in the fall. Thanks for everything. Those are the three things he's looking at. I think the worst is the third one.
Yeah.
Because here's the thing, guys. I think we all, and we talked about this a little bit yesterday. We're all living in a new reality where the normal has to be adjusted. The normal has to be changed. And everything that has been set in our lives are going to be disrupted. Our kids are going to be learning from home, and their grades are going to be a little different in the last part of the school calendar year. Right? We're going, you know, work is going to have to be done at home. The way we go shopping, the way we consume entertainment, we're not going to be able to go out as much, right? All of these things have to change. I think the NBA can honestly say, look, guys, in the 2019-2020 season, we played basketball games, and then you know what? We played a few games and then go right to the postseason. Or we created a postseason where all 30 teams were involved. However we do it, single elimination tournament, best 2 out of 3 tournament, whatever it is, Adam Silver and his team, when it's okay to play basketball again, can create whatever they want in terms of a, as long as it's okay with the players' union, right? As long as the union is okay with how they would govern it, and I'm sure it will be a joint conversation. But both of those entities can create whatever they want in terms of a postseason. It does not have to be top 8 in the conference, best 4 out of 7, advancing. It doesn't have to be that way. It can be a seeded tournament where they just jumble the conferences together. And the Lakers and the Milwaukee Bucks are the 1 and 2 seed of the tournament. But Milwaukee may play the eighth team in the West. And it can be anything it wants to be. And we have to sort of sit back and accept it. And I think most of us would be cool with it because we've had a week without anything and it's driving us crazy already. So if the NBA came to you and said, this is what's going to be, I think we'd all accept it. So I hope the option isn't the third one. I kind of hope the option isn't the second one, but I'd be okay with it because, again, at least there'd be something. At least there would be meaningful games. At least there would be, you know, something to entertain us while we're all in quarantine. But the first one, that's obviously the best when everybody comes back to the arenas. But I don't know and how long that would take. So I'm glad Adam Silver is on top of at least trying to find something.
It's Thursday, which means it's Throwback Thursday on SB Nation AM. Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
Hey, thanks for joining us. It is SB Nation Radio, SB Nation AM on Twitter, at Tony D Radio, at Ron Culver. That's Ron with two N's. This portion of SB Nation Radio is brought to you in part by Hims, the best choice for ED medication and men's wellness. Visit forhims.com/easy. That's forhims.com/easy. All right, so when the NCAA canceled the men's and women's basketball tournaments, and then they canceled the hockey tournament, they canceled the winter sports tournaments, basically shut down everything. And then they also went into the spring sports and said baseball, softball, golf, track and field, you're all done too. The national conversation after that was, okay, what would you do with eligibility here? You had seasons cut dramatically short. Would you give an extra year of eligibility to these student athletes? You know, this was a really quick way to end your season when you still had more sport to play. And it's not so much basketball, right? The Cornell hockey team was the number one hockey team in the nation. Their season just got cut completely undone, right? On their way to the ECAC tournament, on their way to the NCAA tournament, and they get cut short. All of the basketball teams, Sabrina Ionescu at Oregon for the women's tournament, right? All of the guys in the that were seniors in playing in the knowing that they were going to the NCAA tournament, seniors on East Tennessee State and teams like that that already punched their ticket in, as well as seniors on teams that knew they were going to get in regardless of where they were going to go in their conference tournaments. So we have this natural sympathy for this, right? We want to say, of course, we're going to let you play an extra year. But it is unlikely that the NCAA is now going to do that. There's a report that it's not likely that men's and women's basketball players who are seniors who had their year cut short before the tournament or midway through their conference tournament will get an extra year of eligibility. Now, my first thought on this was, well, that's too bad. These are difficult times. It calls for different measures. It calls for, as I mentioned earlier, a different way we look at things, a different way we look at sports. Rick Barnes, who's the head coach of Tennessee, was speaking about this a couple of days ago locally, and he talked about whether or not it would be fair for student athletes their senior year to get another year of eligibility. And he brought up something that I didn't think about. Which is, and because we tend to look at the players whose seasons had some meat left on the bone, to use that phrase, right? Guys that were going to the tournament, guys who were going to compete for conference championships and then got just told as they were heading to the court or in the arena that this tournament is now done. And also those who are playing in the conference tournaments and were going to the NCAA tournament. We tend to look at them. But Barnes points out another large group of players that we don't talk about. And those were the seniors whose seasons were done. They were finished. They weren't going anywhere. They were done early in their conference tournament or didn't make their conference tournament or whatever reason their season came. And there were a lot of those teams. There were a lot of those teams. Not every conference allows all the teams to participate in the conference tournament. The Sun Belt, for example, does not. There are a number of other conferences that had wrapped up. The SoCon. They wrapped up. That means if you were a senior on Furman, that was it. You were done. Or Mercer or Samford or any of the teams. You were finished. You were done at that moment. You weren't done later. You were done then. And Barnes didn't think it was fair to give an extra year of eligibility to a large group of basketball players whose seasons were completed. They were in the books. They were done. And he said it would be really hard to work that out. Another thing that had been pointed out by others, not Barnes, but others, which is, does losing out on a couple of extra games, albeit very important, no doubt about it, without question, important. Tournament games, conference tournament games, those are important games, which you play for. But does missing a potential two or three more games constitute another year of eligibility? And what does that mean for the decisions that were made by people going into college basketball? So you're a freshman, you know, coming into your new team. You were a senior. You looked at all the programs and you looked at all the possibilities. You chose a school based on location, based on coach, based on opportunity, but you also likely looked at the landscape of what the team would look like. I'm a point guard. Looks like the point guard is a senior and he's going to be graduating and I get to take over the team. Coach is going to entrust me as a freshman with this team. Well, what if that point guard now gets another year of eligibility? Does that freshman coming in all of a sudden go, wait a minute. I love you. I love the campus. I love the conference. I love the team. But I was coming here to start as a freshman. I was coming here because when I was in the living room, you were in my living room, you told me that's exactly what you were going to need. Now, I had other teams that were going to use me, and I chose this school. And now it becomes a mess. Now that player is going to want to get out of his obligation. He's going to want to go somewhere else, et cetera. When the NCAA could take the harsh but reality road of saying, this is an unforeseen circumstance, and unfortunately, we are just not going to be able to make it right. And it's sad, and it really is, in a lot of ways, sports tragic, not tragic, but sports tragic in that world. But that's life, and there's nothing we can do about it. We didn't cancel this tournament because we couldn't agree to terms with our broadcasting partners. We didn't cancel the tournament because the venues all shut down and we just said, well, forget it then. We didn't choose to shut down this tournament for some sort of business decision that we could fix or, you know, could repair, meaning we could have had the games, but we decided not to. We shut it down because this is a national epidemic. And we shut it down because we're probably for a lot of us, the first time we've ever gone through something like this. And that's unfortunately the reality. You know, I've laid down the law with my kids already. My kids are moping around, nothing to do. And yep. I said, well, fine, you better find something to do. I told my daughter that yesterday. She's just laying on nothing bored. Well, you better figure out something. Find a hobby. Write a book. Read a book. I don't know. Figure something out. I am not going to feel sorry for you. This is not mom and dad keeping you home.
Yeah,
this is the country. This is the world keeping you home. And this is the reality. You better figure something to do.
Well, it's like what we were saying to our kids yesterday. I mean, you know, they're starting to, we got the stereotypical sibling rivalry, you know, two brothers just always at each other. And we said, listen, guys, you know, we know that your cups need to be filled, but hey, at the same time, our cups need to be filled. Do you think we're wanting to be home and, you know, we're under house arrest without the ankle bracelet?
That's right.
And, you know, and this just is what it is. You know, I mean, there's no school. There's no outlet for them. And I don't feel, you know, you're probably the same boat as me. It's like, I don't know if I want you playing with your friends. Even though I've known your friends forever, I don't know where they've been recently.
Yeah, it's a difficult, you know, my older son is still hanging out with his best friend down the road and they're playing video games. And yesterday they went for a drive. They didn't get out of their car. They just went for a drive around town just to get out. And I told my daughter the same thing. I'm like, look, if you have one or two friends that you know and been, you know, that's fine. But it's a new world, right? It's a whole new world. We're all going through this together. And like we talked about with Adam Silver, sometimes it just is going to have to be different. And we're going to have to go, that's cool. It's great. Thank you. It doesn't have to be fair. It's just something, right? It's the same thing here. I would love for the NCAA to give an opportunity to Sabrina Ionescu to play another year of college basketball. But the reality of it is, I'm sorry, another year over a couple of games, a possible run at a national championship. We can't make it fair for everybody.
Right.
It's unfortunate, but no. And it isn't fair to say, well, if you would have made the tournament, you get to play another whole year of college basketball when the senior from Mercer doesn't get to do that. That's not fair either. It's just better to just say, it sucks, it's awful, it's terrible, but you know what? That's life, and it's unfortunate, and we're so sorry, but that's the way it's going to have to be. It's better to do that. Now, in the spring sports, I guess there's enough time to process all of that. They barely played anything.
I don't think they had a game.
Well, baseball had about 20, right? Yeah. Softball had about 25. Golf, I don't know much about the college golf season in terms of how much of that was rolling along. That's a little different because there's more time to sort of process that out. But for the winter sports when a lot of your winter sports seniors were done anyway, and then only a few were going to continue on in either one or two more games or six games or whatever, however their tournament fortunes were. I don't think giving a whole another year of eligibility is a trade-off for that at all. Just say, you know what? Unfortunately, my senior year, the tournament got canceled, and that was it.
Mm-hmm.
You know? And you know what? If you were a sophomore and you're going to make a decision to go into the NBA, well, you have every reason to hold off on that if you want. If you loved college basketball so much, don't go to the NBA. Stay in school. But the seniors, you know what? I'm sorry, but it's done. It's done. So, listen, and I'm all for fairness, and I'm all try to sort this all out the best we possibly can. But I understand Barnes's point. I do understand Barnes's point. And I understand the recruiting angle, too. Especially when you've got players coming in, and all of a sudden, they're like, wait a minute, the whole landscape is, you can bring back four seniors now? Wait a minute, I thought I was coming to a team where the cupboard was a little bare, and we're going to, now you're telling me four people are going to be coming back because of this new, no, not at all. So, I know it's a tough decision for the NCAA. I got it. I absolutely got it. But at the same time, I think the winter sports should be put in the book and kind of be done with. All right, again, on Twitter, at Tony D Radio, at Ron Culver. That's Ron with two N's as we continue. We'll get to your tweets coming up next. It's SB Nation AM. It's Tony D and Ron Culver in the morning.
With a little love. It's Thursday, which means it's Throwback Thursday on SB Nation AM. Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
All right, this hour of SB Nation Radio, presented by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Rocket Mortgage is with you every step of the way to provide a seamless mortgage experience. Little Hootie and the Blowfish, 1995 on a Throwback Thursday. South Carolina's own.
Classmates, right?
That's right. I snuck into a bar my freshman year to see them in concert. A friend of mine dragged me to see Hootie at Five Points in Columbia, South Carolina. And it wasn't really sneaking into a bar. I don't want to even sound that nefarious.
It makes it sound cooler.
It was just one of those, oh, come on in. Everybody's coming in to see Hootie. And then a couple of years later, I'm working at a radio station, and the publicity department of their record label sends a Dr. Seuss book with the record, with, you know, the tape in it or whatever, and it said it was One Fish, Blue Fish, Hootie and the Blowfish. And they like redesigned that book for the band. And I remember looking at it going, holy cow, that was like a local band when I was in college. Amazing, they're making it. And they made it. And so, Hootie and the Blowfish. Huge South Carolina supporters. Big South Carolina supporters.
And Dolphins.
And Dolphins, too. That's right. So,
At least they're truthful about the Dolphins.
At least they're, yeah, exactly. Robert on Twitter had a cup of coffee at East Lansing and MSU when we were talking about Nick Foles, and he sent us the Nick Foles Michigan State link to his player roster page from 2007.
Oh, there we go.
Nice. Thank you, Robert, for that fine find on a Monday, on a Throwback Thursday, 2007. I retweeted this out from Zach Rosenblatt. Nick Foles has gone from Philly to St. Louis to Kansas City, back to Philly to Jacksonville, and now to Chicago in a span of 7 years. Won a title and a Super Bowl MVP in there. Weirdest career ever.
Yep.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. Who else do you have that kind of arc, if you will, storyline?
Yeah, no one.
Like I said, he won a Super Bowl 2 years ago in February of 2018. He was hoisting a Super Bowl, like going to the parades.
And then now he's gotten traded off for a fourth round pick.
2 years later, he was traded for a fourth round pick to the Bears. And not to start. Here's the one thing. If he got traded to the Bears and the Bears were like, okay, then we're going to cut Mitchell Trubisky, and then we're going to have this big press conference where we're going to give Foles a jersey, and, you know, like, hey, we're so happy to have Nick Foles as our start. That would be one thing. That would be like, okay, he's going there to compete for the starting job
Yeah.
for the Bears. What a weird league this is. I know I've been following it my whole life, but it never ceases to amaze me how weird the business of this league can be.
No, I mean, there's just a lot of things that just don't make sense.
Yeah.
A lot of times. And I mean, it's all business.
That's it.
And that's what I think we tend to, even though you and I preach it and we say it all the time, we still forget it.
And you know what else, too? I think a lot of it has to do with the non-guaranteed contracts. I mean, yeah, there's dead space. And if you're a capologist, there are numbers that work in, you know, signing guys. But I think when you're a baseball team, for example, and you get Bryce Harper on a 10-year, $350 million deal or whatever it is, he's going to be there a while. You're not trading him 10 seconds after he gets there, right? But in football, if a guy you sign a guy to a big deal, it's got big numbers to it. It's got 5 years, 6 years on it, big numbers. But you know that's all useless. And then after a while, they go, nah, we're done.
I mean, it's funny because you ran through the gamut of teams Nick Foles has been on. Was he really a Jacksonville Jaguar?
Right. Exactly. I mean, again, if a tree falls in a forest, right? I mean, seriously. I don't remember anything about Nick Foles' time in Jacksonville.
Neither do I, except always being talked about compared to Gardner Minshew.
Yeah, that's right.
And us going, hey, if he comes back healthy, you can't bring him back in. You got Minshew.
If you have a quarterback where he's doing a feature with Uncle Rico, you know your time is up, right? You know that the writing's on the wall. And for Nick Foles, it's been a crazy 2 years.